I just want to tonight just kind of talk a little bit about, you know, what happened. First of all, I've had family members that used to live in Uvalde, Texas. So obviously, I think it was my great uncle pastored a church there at one point in time. And I've heard my parents talk about, you know, that city and things like that. But, you know, today as I was just, you know, meditating and studying, I mean, I just was praying for these families of all these situations. And, you know, and not only, you know, obviously we have some that were killed and some that are injured, but you realize that psychologically the kids that were in that school, I mean, to go through a tragic event like this at such a young age, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, you know, they need a lot of psychological, you know, touch from God. And, you know, a lot of people have been trying to make this a political situation or whatever. And if you want to talk politics, you can do that later on. But right now, you know, people are hurting. And, you know, it's not a time to talk about, you know, what, how, when. But, you know, the thing about it is people sometimes always think, well, why is this happening? Oh, I'm going to tell you why it happens. It's because the devil is a devil. And I read it all the time. You've heard me probably quote it pretty much every time I preach. John 10:10, the thief, the devil, El Diablo, comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says that I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, the devil's out to try to steal from us, trying to take from us. And obviously, many lives were stolen away at a young age. And I tell you what, I mean, you know, I believe that we as a church, we as a nation, you know, I think that we need to pray more. Because I think if we want to change things, it's not going to really start by griping, getting on Facebook or wherever and gripe about stuff. You know, I believe that we need to get on our knees. Because obviously this nation is hurting. Obviously this nation is probably more divided than any time it's been, you know, since I've been alive. You know, and it shouldn't be. I mean, you know, we are, you know, I believe that we are one nation under God. I believe that, you know, our government was set forth with biblical principles. And that's probably one of the biggest reasons that, you know, the people in charge now have gotten rid of all the biblical principles, or trying to at least. You know, here's the thing. We can blame somebody, you know, an individual, but Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this. It says, for we do not wrestle. Notice it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And I wish more Christians would realize that. It's not about an individual. Because, you know, I know everybody has an individual that they're upset about for whatever reason. You know, it's an individual is not really making things, you know, happen or not happen in this world. I mean, you know, they can only do so much. But it says, but we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And so the only way to do battle with these situations is on your knees. Do you realize, I mean, you're not going to do a physical battle with somebody. It's not going to change things. You know, and I know people, you know, they don't really want to talk about demons and this and that and everything else. But there are demons. There's demonic activity. In fact, my grandfather has said a number of times that the spiritual world is more real than the natural world. I mean, it's more real. We just do not see it on a constant basis, but it's still around. In fact, there's certain areas of the country, especially, or even certain countries that you go in, you can feel the oppression. Whenever you go to those areas of the country or the place, or even certain people's, you know, I don't want to, you know, there's certain places that if you go to, could be someone's house, and you can just feel, it's just like, have you ever walked in a room after someone's been arguing? you can sense something. I mean, it's the atmosphere. And the thing about it is, we should change the atmosphere. I mean, I know this is a little song that we used to sing, but this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, whenever I walk in a room, I change the atmosphere. You know, some people say, well, when they walk in, they light up the room. Well, literally, I light up the room whenever I walk in, because I bring the love of Jesus Christ to any room I walk into, because I have Jesus. I have the greater one on the inside. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And you know, plus, I'm funny anyway. Not funny looking. I like to light up the room. I like to, make people smile. We do have a devil. It's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to realize that. We need to realize that we have spiritual authority. And I shouldn't have to tell any of you here, because you probably have all read the book, The Authority of the Believer. You know, we have authority. And how many people we don't walk in our authority that we even have. We don't come against the devil. And then here's the thing. Usually the only time that we come against the devil is when we personally have a situation happen to us. But we should also be able to empathize with other people. I mean, I don't know how many times I've thought about, this. I mean, I know I'm old. I'm getting old, but my grandkids are the same age of the kids that passed away, in elementary school. And, I think about those kind of things. You think about, how tragic it is. But if we want to change this world, it's not going to happen by arguing. It's not going to happen by fighting. But it's going to happen by us, as Christians, getting on our knees, beginning to pray for this nation. Being able to share the love of God to a lost and dying and hurting world. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, we all know this scripture. You've probably read it, but most of you might have not never done it, but you've read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16 says, "If my people," notice it says the word "if." It does, it doesn't even say when. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." Maybe we should have some more ifs happening in this world today, because we need healing in our land. I believe that we need to pray more. I believe we need to the way to fight the devil is on our knees. And we should do that. But then again, too, I started, hearing different people think about different things. And I heard a lot of fear-mongering going on. Some people even said, well, this is, we should homeschool our kids. They shouldn't go to school. The thing about it is, just because something happens doesn't mean we should completely alter our life. And we all have the scripture. We all know the scripture. If you didn't catch it during COVID, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." We shouldn't have a spirit of fear about anything. We shouldn't be afraid about anything. Because you know what? I'm here to tell you that every day of your life, every time you drive your automobile, you could get in a car wreck and could have tragic things happen to you. You could step off of a curb and a car will hit you. I mean, things could happen to you every day. I mean, someone who I know had a freak accident at work and lost their life over it. It was a bizarre thing. Things can happen. But it doesn't mean we should alter our life or quit enjoying life just because something happened one day. What it does mean is that we shouldn't have a spirit of fear, but we should have power, love, and a sound mind. And, you know, just to be honest, the reason for this situation, a lot of situations, is mental illness. Someone's going through an issue in life, and they need help. You know, and a lot of times that we do not look at what's going on around about us because we're so busy living life for ourselves. But, you know, there is mental illness in this world. And we need to understand that. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I want to talk about this. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And I believe the Spirit of God leads us and guides us. And, you know, I know that obviously that I've done a lot of traveling in my life. And I always tell everybody, if I don't feel that I should get on an airplane, I'm not getting on an airplane. If I feel what we call a check, I'm not getting on. Why am I not getting on? You know, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I believe the Spirit of God will lead us and will guide us. I know some people that, you know, going back to some other tragedies in life, one tragedy happened here in Oklahoma City bombing. I know of a gentleman who was on Social Security, and he was having issues with the Social Security check, and so the Social Security office was in the Murrow Building. The building got bombed, and so he needed to go do something and fix that. And so he told his wife, you know, that morning, "I don't know, I just don't want to go, but I know I need to." Unfortunately, not only did he go, he also brought his little grandson with him, and they both perished. But his wife said the whole time, he didn't want to go. Something kept telling him not to go, and he went anyway. I know another individual that was on the way to the World Trade Center on 9/11. And on the way, on the inside, something said, "Stop and get some coffee." And like, I'm going to be late for work if I stop. And it kept getting louder and louder. Well, they stopped. They were late for work. On the way to work, they watched the building that they worked in collapse. You know, that's being led by the Spirit of God. Or not being led by the Spirit of God. And you know, and so I'll tell you my story. There was one time that we happened to be in Phoenix, Arizona. Technically, we're in Tempe, Arizona. Doing a meeting. And it was Friday. I believe it was Friday afternoon. And we were going to fly out Friday night after the service on our own airplane. Myself and my grandparents. And so that afternoon, I just felt a check that I shouldn't get on that airplane. And so I started getting the check. So I checked the weather out. I was like, you know, and the weather was going to be iffy or whatever. But I called the pilots. The pilot said, "Oh, no problem. It won't be a problem to fly." So I mean, I was starting to pack my stuff beforehand. And I don't know, I just, my check was just so strong, I'm like, I'm not getting on that airplane. So, you know, I told my grandparents, "I'm not flying tonight." Well, I told my grandparents, and then, you know, on the way we were driving to church, you know, I didn't bring my stuff like everybody else did to fly out. And I said, I'm not getting on the airplane. So I asked my grandfather, I said, "Are you going to get on the airplane?" He goes, "Yep." But see, my faith and his faith are two separate things. Many of us say, "Well, if Brother Hagin's going to get on the airplane, I'm going to get on the airplane." Well, I'm not depending on Brother Hagin's faith. You know, I got to go by the leading of my spirit, not the leading of anyone else's spirit. So I told him, I said, I'm not getting on the airplane. I'll fly Southwest Airlines tomorrow. I already picked the flight up. There's a flight tomorrow. It leaves at 9 o'clock. I'll be on that flight. All right? The ministry will pay for it. But anyway, we went to church. Now, while we were at church, I got a text message saying that the pilots, saying that we're not going to fly tonight because the weather was too bad. So he didn't get on the airplane either, you know. But, you know, the thing about it is, I don't care if he got on the airplane. I wasn't getting on the airplane. I don't care if he got on the airplane and they landed in Tulsa safely. I wasn't getting on the airplane. Why? Because I'm not going to override something that's on the inside. You know, I know my wife talks about a situation in her life, saying, you know, that there was a situation, a tragic thing happened to her one time, and she says God warned her three times not to go, three times, and she also said at that point in time of her life she wasn't as close to God as she should be, but God still warned her three times. And she overrode it all three times. Don't override things on the inside. You know, because God's sometimes trying to protect you from being in that situation. Now, I said this to say that because I heard this multiple times today, that there was one of the little girls that perished that told her dad, I mean, please don't let me, I don't want to go to school today. I do not want to go to school today. Don't make me, you know, I get it. A lot of kids don't want to go to school. I understand that. You know, but the thing about it is, maybe that there was something on the inside that she knew she shouldn't be at school. You know, I don't know. Now, that's not to say for some of you Rhema students that you should skip out or whatever. And Craig told me not to go to school today. You know, so. I'm just saying that, you know, we need to be smart. Now, you also understand, too, God also gives you a brain. All right? You know, that we should use as well. Like, for instance, you know, if you happen to be, I don't want to give this example because people are talking about guns, but it's the best example I can think about. If you happen to be at a place where there's a gun range, you're not going to walk while people are shooting guns right there. You know, that would be stupid, right? And, you know, that's a no-brainer. But there's a lot of things that we put ourselves in stupid situations. I have a book out there for you guys called Don't Be Stupid. But we put ourselves in situations that we shouldn't put ourselves into. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't do things that are, you know, type A personality things. I mean, I've gone scuba diving. I've gone bungee jumping. I haven't gone skydiving. My mom would probably be really mad about that. She doesn't want me to do either one of those other scuba dive or bungee jump. But I wouldn't have done it if I had to check about it. You know, I mean, I always pray before I do anything. I mean, you know, I pray before I take a trip in my car. I mean, I don't mean every time I come to work. I'm talking about, you know, if I'm going to drive to Dallas or whatever. I pray, first of all, I pray for protection. In fact, I pray for protection every day of my life. Not only me, my kids, my grandkids. I mean, you know, my mom taught me this. We claim the 91st Psalm over each and every members of our family. Now, I will say that I'm not like my parents, because my parents actually, they don't just claim 91st Psalm of our family. They name off every member of our family by name. I do the wholesale thing, okay? You know, God knows what I'm talking about. But they, whatever reason, they said they name off all their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids. They name them all off. All right, if you want to get on that list, you just need to ask them, I guess. I don't know. But, well, they'll talk about, you know, the ones they have authority over. And you know, the deal is that we need to understand that we live in a world that, you know, that's not always safe. But God will lead us and guide us, through our inward witness. Now, obviously, all this wouldn't be an issue if we would follow the command of love that Jesus gave us. Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. You probably all know this. It says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, I would say the first commandment, the no duh commandment, obviously you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. I mean, that's no duh. Every Christian should do that. The second commandment is kind of an issue because I know people that will flat out tell me that they have trouble with their love walk. And it's to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you realize what that actually says. Because most people love themselves. All right? Most people have, they're pretty selfish in life. And it says that we should be as selfish about, I mean, if we're selfish, we should love our neighbor with the same love. So the more you love yourself, the more you have to love your neighbor. Now, the reason I want to say this is because loving your neighbor is not just showing, also this isn't just a person next door, because if we go on to one of the other Gospels, it says, well, who is our neighbor? And it goes to the Good Samaritan story. So our neighbor really is someone that we probably were taught not to like, but we should love them anyway, especially when they're going through all kinds of, things. But here's the thing. If we love someone, I really believe that we should spread more love as a Christian. I really get it when it's some people, they say, well, you might be the only Jesus that person ever sees. And the other side about it is I understand that not just me, but you, we're all representatives of Jesus Christ. And how we act is representative of Christ in people's opinion. I get it. I'm a pastor, so people expect me, to act like Christ. And I do 98% of the time. That 2%, I usually do that at home. Only my wife sees me. I'm not perfect, okay? I'm just like, and you're not either. All right? There are some times that instead of, giving people the mind of Christ, I give them my personal mind. It's probably not a good thing, but God will forgive me. But the deal is I try my best to always walk in love toward everybody. And I believe, here's the thing, I found out that, walking in hatred doesn't really ever help the situation. It's just like I found out, once again, I travel quite a bit, and I found out that a lot of times whenever you're traveling, even especially now with some of the stuff, I've been there where flights get canceled and all these people are mad. I mean, these people are yelling and screaming. I remember one time I was in New York City at going to a convention, and because I'm not going to say I'm cheap, because I'm frugal, not only with my money, but with the ministry's money, I use companies to get the best hotel rates or whatever, because I'm cheap. And so on this particular, I went through a company, I think that time I went through Expedia, and so I had booked two rooms in my name, although one of the rooms was for my employees, one was for me. And so since they were both the same kind of room, and they kept me, and I think that they wouldn't let me do two, so I did one and one. So I had my reservations there. I went there, no problem. I mean, here's my thing. And they type on their computer. They're like, Well, sorry, sir. We thought it was a duplicate, and we canceled one of your reservations like a month ago. So you have one room, but you don't have a second room, and the issue is that we're sold out at the hotel tonight. You know, and I'm like, but I have a reservation. I made my reservation, like, legally. Yeah, I know, we're sorry. So here's the deal. Instead of getting mad at the person, because you know what? That person didn't cancel my reservation. And so I just continued to walk in love, and, you know, I'm like, sorry, you know. And I ask her, well, is there something that you can do? Is there, come to find out, we started talking that the management there actually owned another hotel across the street or really close by or whatever, and she was checking and doing all this stuff that, you know, I think we can get you in there and all this. And then finally she comes back and she goes, you know what? I'm just going to give you a room. I'm like, I thought you were sold out. Well, you know, you're here early. It's like, you know, like 2 o'clock or something like that. Someone else is going to have to worry about not having a room later on that day. So I got a room. Why? Because I walked in love and didn't yell at the person. I was just nice to them. You know, because yelling at them is not going to help. They didn't cancel my reservation. You know, I don't know how many times I've been upgraded to first class and all kinds of stuff because I don't yell and scream at the people, you know, just because it's not their fault. Just like when your server comes and gives you your food and, you know, the people in the back didn't cook it right, it's not really their fault. Now, I get it. If they didn't punch it in right, that would be their fault, okay? But still, screaming at them is not going to help. Walking in love. But here's the thing. I started thinking about this. You know, walking in love is also noticing when your brother or sister is hurting and going through a situation. Because I'm telling you what, that nobody that is mentally right walks into a school and starts shooting things up. All right? So there were signs that somebody had to notice. Maybe not signs that they were going to commit that kind of thing, but there might have, you know, the fact that, you know, some of the, I'm sure that, well, we know, because now came out that he's told some people what he's going to do right before he did it, but the other side is that there are signs. There's issues. Now, the story behind him is that he was a high school, he dropped out his senior year. There's probably issues. Someone had to see the issues. And if we really love our neighbor like we love ourselves, if we see people hurting, wouldn't we want to try to help someone who's hurting? Now, how many times do we not notice how much people are hurting? You know, I'm not talking about people that are going to go kill somebody. I'm just talking about, you know, people that you see live on your street. Maybe you just walk by them at Walmart and you can just tell that they're not doing good. Or one of your friends. I mean, I don't know how many times that I have been online and I've read, I mean, like a couple different statuses, and I'm like, man, something's going on in that person's life. And I contact them. I'm like, are you okay? Because by reading your statuses, it sounds like something's going on in your life. Is, you know, maybe you don't want to talk to me about it, but I mean, I'm going to pray for you whether you talk to me about it or not. I mean, by the way we love people is we notice what's going on. I mean, you know, we actually decide to pay attention. Because what if someone could have ministered to him like 3 weeks ago? Or a month ago or something like that, you know? I mean, what if... I mean, sometimes you can just tell that people are down. I mean, I've actually, like I said, been walking through the mall, or I don't go to the mall anymore, courtesy of Amazon, but and other online sources. But you know, I do go to Walmart quite a bit. But sometimes you walk through Walmart, and you can just tell someone's, I've actually said hi to people I don't even know from Adam, because they just seem like they're down. I mean, you know, they weren't smiling. Or whatever. I mean, you know, now it doesn't mean like I got into long conversations with them. Just said hi. How are you doing today? you know, friendly. I talk to everybody, so it's not like, I mean, you know, doesn't matter to me. I mean, I'm not really that shy. So, you know, and what is saying hi to somebody hurt? But especially if someone who you know, I mean, there has to be, if someone you know is going through some issues in life, I mean, you know, so think about this. Obviously, and I understand that kids don't notice as much as adults, but I mean, there are probably some other seniors in that person's high school that noticed they dropped out of school and kind of wonder. There might even be adults that noticed this kid dropped out of school and want to know whatever, you know, maybe he had a job somewhere and things. I mean, there are signs. So sometimes pay attention to people around about you, because one way you can love people is to notice when things are not right. Notice whenever, you know, and I'm not saying that you can, I mean, sometimes you don't have the answers. Sometimes the only thing you can do is pray for somebody. But you know what? You should notice. I mean, there has to be issues. And it's interesting, whenever somebody, you know, does something, usually when they look back in the history, there were signs, there were issues. So please, notice the people around about you. Notice your neighbors. I mean, you know, just be a good person. Because a good person would, like, if you, it's just like, okay, if someone was standing in the middle of the street and there was a semi truck, you know, headed at them, I don't, well, 50 miles an hour, I don't care. I don't care if they're headed at 25 miles an hour. At some point in time, are you going to push them out of the street? I mean, are you going to sit there and let them get run over? I mean, at some point, but you know, how many times is there other people going through situations that we like, you know what, that's not my business. You know, I got too many other things to worry about. You know, why should I worry about them? You know, that's Pastor Bill's thing. That's just sometimes I feel Pastor Bill feels like that. He does a lot of, you know, a lot of the spiritual guidance here at the ministry, and, you know, and you know, it's not just for us ministers to notice. It's for everybody to notice, because part of loving people is caring about people, is noticing things going on that's not right in their life. And I'm not saying that your friends are going to go shoot anybody up, okay? I'm just saying maybe your friends are going through a tragic situation, a tragic time, or you don't know what they're going through. Things just don't seem, you know, right. You know, and if you really love somebody, especially if you love them the way you love yourself, if things don't seem right in your own self, then probably you might seek help. You know, and to figure out what's going on. But, you know, one thing that we should do is we should love people. And we should be concerned, because you know what? Another thing too, it just does seem sometimes when tragic things happen, we don't even care if it's, I mean, I'm not saying we don't care. We don't think about, well, what if that was my family member? You know, because, you know, well, that didn't happen here. It didn't happen where, you know, and I know that there is a thought pattern, you know, especially when it's not, it's a long ways away. But we should care. We should care about people. You know, and whether you ever meet that person doesn't mean you can't pray for that person. Doesn't mean you can't be there to be a light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. Father God, we just thank you that you'll just help us to notice. If there's been anyone that we hang around, anyone that we work with, anyone that comes across our path that's going through situations and circumstances in our life, help us to notice them. Help us to be a light to them. Help us to be a help to them, Father. Father God, we just thank you once again. And we just thank you for each and every person here. And we thank you, Father, that you'll just help us to share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. We continue to pray for these that are hurting right now, not just these that are happening in Uvalde, but people all over the world right now going through situations. Father, we just thank you that you're sending someone across their path to be a blessing to them, to help them, to help them in this whatever situation they're going through. Father God, we just thank you for it, and we just thank you for everything you're doing in our life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. You may